Heavenly Father, we come before you with gratitude for your goodness and for your love for us. It's our pleasure to receive your pleasure, and it's our delight to glorify you in our lives. This morning we come and we worship you. And we would be honored to honor you. We'd be delighted to simply be allowed to worship you in spirit and in truth. So anoint us to be connected with you today, we pray. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I just wanted to say that Franklin Graham announced this as a day of prayer and fasting for the president, for the churches, so I'm not sure if people are aware of that. Okay. All right. Father, we thank you for the man that you put in office, Lord. And we thank you that he has your anointing on him, and that he is strong and standing for righteousness, your righteousness. And Father, we're calling for your justice from above on this whole matter that's going on right now. But Lord, gird him up, speak to his heart, watch over his mouth, anoint his words. They are anointed when they go out. And Lord, we ask that you would keep him and all of his family members and those associated with him covered with your blood of protection and in safety as we walk through the issues that we're walking through. And bless him and all of his family members today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to tack on with it. In Jesus' name, we release forgiveness to that man for wherever he's failed. We release your grace over that man to accomplish everything you've called him to. We speak strengthening and promotion to him. We declare over him that his ears will be open to the voice of God, that his heart will be resonant with the voice of God. We bless him, and we ask that you will remove the barbs, remove the arrows, remove the sting and the poison that the enemy would have toward him, and we release blessing over him as he continues to lead this nation. We ask you, and we declare over him your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, your empowerment, and your promotion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's do Holy, 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 the hymn.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning a song shall rise to you.
We cast our golden crowns before you. Everything that is good in us, we put down before you as an act of worship. You are worthy of all worship. And we prostrate ourselves and our hearts before you, Holy God.
The fullness of the Godhead with our humanity, flesh and bone sewn in the heart of God inseparably. I know, and I believe you are the Lord. I know, and I believe you are the Lord.
Strange. Justice and mercy. Your burden is light, and your yoke is easy.
I know, and I believe you are the Lord. I know, and I believe you are the Lord.
Touch your wounded side, Lord, the joy of your reward.
I know, and I believe you are the Lord. I know, and I believe you are the Lord.
Help my unbelief.
Hearts and we set our minds to believe more fully, to see and know you more fully, and to come into alignment in our minds and in our hearts with you.
You must increase.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your incredible humility to reach all the way to us in our real lives, in the brokenness and difficulties of our lives, and humble yourselves to lift us up and to save us and to know us even. Make us to be the same as you, humble enough to lower ourselves, to lift the lowest of the low, and to knowing you, and to the glory of knowing you, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Great unknown, feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, I am yours, you are mine.
You face the mountains, the deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't stop now. So I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
In your presence, take me deep.
keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. For I am yours, and you are
So the Lord gave me a verse, and I knew that the verse that he gave me wasn't what he was saying to me. It was kind of an interesting little thing, but I just knew that somehow. What he gave me was, it's up here, so I could just read it to you instead of trying to remember it. And the cattle upon a thousand hills is what he gave me. As I read that, that's Psalms 50. As I read that, what he really was saying to me was a couple of verses underneath that. And it says, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. And he kind of said to me, what is your responsibility in this? And it is to offer unto God thanksgiving. Be thankful. Focus on thanking God. And pay the vows unto the Most High. How do we do that? By thanking him for his goodness and praising him for what he's done. And then, when there's problems, what's my responsibility? To call on his name. I've been being thankful, and now I call his name. And thereby, I glorify him. I thought it was interesting. And that all came from Cattle on a Thousand Hills.
So I will call upon your name. I'll keep my eyes.
And keep my eyes above the waves.
That's gratitude.
My soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours.
One more time.
And you are mine. So I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. For I am
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands.
that I wake up till I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am, the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
You are good. And we're grateful that your goodness pursues us and your mercy pursues us, runs after us and acquires us. It's so good that you're so good. We need you. And we're so grateful for your goodness and for your love.
End for it. He is striving to do good in our lives.
That's true.
I don't know. That just hit me. Because regularly I think that, okay, God's good to me. All right, my son comes to me and goes, hey, Dad, I need $5. Really? You need $5? Okay, here's $5. Bring me the change. Right? That's being retroactively good to my child. Correct?
Reactively.
reactively, sorry. God isn't. He's proactively. He's chasing us down going, you're going to go and you're going to need five. So here's 20. Take 20. Come on, take 20. That's proactive goodness of God. That's God running after us to do good in our lives. Not, oh my goodness, quick, do I have something good to do for him? He's proactive. He has plans for us.
Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Even if I ran away, your love never fails.
I know I still make mistakes, but yours is for me every day. Your love never fails.
Let's do that first one again.
Nothing can separate. Even if I run away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Open seas, your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Your love never.
All things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love.
love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never
nothing can separate.
Even if I run away, your love never fails.
The last song we're going to do this morning, at least that I know of right now, is the Revelation song, which is worthy as... It's the song that is spoken to... In Revelations chapter, I think it's 1 or 4, I forget which, but it's the one that Holy, Holy, Holy was referring to when all the saints are adoring and they were casting down their golden crowns. In these last days, I feel like it's worth our while to be aware that we are in the last days, and that what we're doing, even in the difficulties of our lives, in the possibly confusion and much opposition, and those just our simple obedience, our simple love, our simple worship is significant in these last days. It's a significant thing. Who we are before the Lord is worship, and who we are before the Lord is significant. So worship with me.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
I will adore you. Worthy, worthy.
Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Sing praise to the King of Kings.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Worthy of worship. Worthy of every sort of worship. Worthy of all our worship. Are you our Heavenly Father, our God, our Lord Jesus? Worthy, worthy, worthy are you. And we worship you. We worship you, God.
Let's just hesitate and meditate in the presence of God. He came this morning. He's hanging out with us. Let's just give it a minute. So I encourage you just to close your eyes. Can you feel His presence? God, you're so good to us. We praise your name. Let's take this time to be thankful. What do you have to be thankful for today? Lord, I am thankful for Jocelyn. She is a gift to us. Lord, I'm thankful that Charlie was here to worship with us today. I've missed him, Lord. Pray your blessing on him. Lord, I'm thankful that you love me just the way I am. Lord God, I am so grateful for Sean, the blessing that he is. And Lord, I'm grateful for Sean and the love you have for Sean. Pray your blessing on him today. Lord, your goodness is amazing. I have a Noah. I have a Nick. Oh God, you're so good to us. We have a Shelley. Lord, thank you for Shelley. Bless her. Lord, I'm grateful that I woke up this morning. I'm grateful that you spoke to me this morning. I'm grateful that you came and met us here today. Lord, your goodness shows its head in Bonnie and her husband. And we're grateful for the Metzes. We bless Tom and Bonnie. Lord, be with them. Bless them. Thank you for them. Thank you for the call on their life. Lord, thank you for Ron and Estella holding down the back corner. Bless them, Lord God, today. Thank you for their hearts. Who else has something to be thankful for today? Shelley.
It's a new year for Lake Israel. For the Jewish people, it's a new year. Yeah, it's a new year.
Who wants a new year? New beginnings. Yes, yes, praise you. Thank you, Lord.
When we were talking, when we were singing earlier about how humble Jesus is, the words say that he came and lives inside of us, and I thought about how humble he was, that he would allow himself to be recognized in and through me. Each one of us, that's humility.
He branded himself in Jocelyn. That is pretty amazing. I mean, look at it from a marketing standpoint. I mean, I personally can see why you'd want to be marketed through Jocelyn, but I don't see why you'd be marketed through me. You know, I think we're each there, aren't we? Yes. Thank you, Lord, that you humbled yourself enough to allow me the honor of having you in me. That is amazing. Whoo-wee. Anybody else have a praise the Lord, a thank you, God, for what you've done in my life? Let me rephrase that. We all do. Who would like to share it? That's the hard part, right? Tom does. Love you, Tom.
I want to thank God for bringing Bonnie into my life over 40 years ago. I was a beaten man. I was all messed up from the war. And one afternoon, I got down on my hands and knees, and I asked, if there's a God upstairs, will he listen to me? I want to meet a girl that was never married, and it would accept me for the way I am. I did not see no big bowl of lightning or thunder, but within 2 weeks I had a blind date from a guy at work. He said, I've got just a girl for you. She's too much the motherly type. So would I go out with her? I said, I called her a few times. And I knew the first time that I met her that I was in love with her. And I knew it because it was from God. Thank you, Jesus.
Tom, is that an example of God pursuing you? She's sitting next to you. God pursued goodness for you and created Bonnie. Before you even asked, he said, I am going to create a Bonnie to pursue goodness for Tom. I am grateful, Tom. I'm with you. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Lord God, I am thankful for Larry. Well, both of them, but I'm speaking of younger one at the moment. Lord, for his heart, I bless it. Lord God, move in his life in a precious way. We are delighted and grateful to have Larry with us. He blesses us regularly. And we return your blessings on him in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to? Oh, I'm sorry, Pat. Just a second. Lord, I'm grateful for Aunt Nancy. A lady that's heart is after you. A lady that walks with you quietly and steadfastly. I am grateful for a lady who loves consistently, who has made a change in my life because she always loves me just as you do.
Put it here. I'm grateful for God's beautiful creation. Just the beauty, and that we can see it and be in the midst of it every day, and we can feel him.
I'm grateful for that too, Pat. This past week, I called my family several times to the mudroom door and said, look at that rainbow. I had never seen rainbows as vibrant. We had basically a full rainbow that was so incredibly vibrant. You know, normally you can see most of the colors and then it blurs, kind of the indigo? The inside one is almost, I mean, you can almost see it. This was like in your face. It was vibrant. About 5 minutes later, I went out with the garbage or the dogs or whatever I did, and I called my family back again. I had never seen, and this was only part of the rainbow, but the left end of the rainbow was like the biggest, widest rainbow. It just was just amazing. And you think, God orchestrated that just like he did all of creation. He created creation for us, right? For himself, for his honor and glory. We glorify you, God. You are a good and amazing God. Last week, as we ended up, Dad said to us, just wait on God and hear what he has to say. And then some people said a few things. And so let's just end this little segment here with the same. It's 30 seconds past. I'm going to give you 1 minute. How's that for timing you? Let's just be quiet. Listen. Hear what God has to say to you. You're precious, and we love your whispers, Lord God. Anybody have something they want to share before we turn George loose? Has God said something to somebody? I dare you to scratch your ear or something. You have something, Pat?
God said that he was overjoyed with our worship this morning.
We love you, God.
I felt like God said to me, I love you, not anyway. Because he said, I love you, and I, in my own mind, I was adding the anyway. And he said, no, not anyway, I love you.
So the important part of that word was what? What were the words that he emphasized?
I love you.
Not anyway.
Not anyway. You see, I'm hard on myself, and you know, I say thank you, God, for loving me anyway. And he's like, I love you, not anyway. I just love you.
Yes.
I just love you.
It's important to understand what he says and not just... It was kind of like the verse that I told you. Somehow I knew that cattle on a thousand hills wasn't what he was saying to me. He was getting me to a place. Is it important that he tells George that he loves him? That's important. But what was he trying to say to George? In spite of you, and not anyway, get your brain out of this and receive with your heart that I love you. Not anyway, but I love you. Thank you.
I have a couple quick announcements here this morning. The first one is, and I don't really know exactly why we're behind, we're sort of a little bit behind the eight ball, and so we anybody that goes to a food pantry, please don't leave today without checking out one of these and getting it signed. I think we need a certain number of them or something. I'm not sure exactly. Paula had to go early, but it's basically a civil rights training for non-supervisory staff and volunteers. Okay, so what I'd like is everybody to get a John Hancock on one of these. So you read the front page and write down here if you volunteer at the food pantry. Okay, so that's what I need here. And that's all ages. I'll send one of these around. There's lots of copies, so if you show up, that'd be great to get some of those John Hancocks, okay? Alrighty. In addition to that, I just wanted to point out a couple of quick things in your bulletin. This coming weekend, there's a prophetic teaching and revelation series out in Newark. I want to make you remind you of that and make you aware of that. In addition, there's a apparently some significant changes in Medicare happening. And so we asked a lady that connects with us through the food pantry to give us an understanding of the Medicare situations as they're coming out. And she agreed to spend time with us on Thursday, October 10th, starting at 6:30 p.m. And so if you are a subscriber to Medicare, or if you have somebody that you take care of that has a Medicare connection, you might want to be connected with this informational event on October 10th at 6:30 p.m. Encourage you to go ahead and read your bulletin. Dad puts really excellent teachings in the bulletins, and that would be valuable to you, I believe, to go ahead and do that. Father, I pray that you would cause us to hear your word this morning, cause us to be shifted into your likeness this morning. Pour out your spirit upon us as we willingly are drawn, led into all truth. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to talk about peace. Peace is a significant thing that I personally don't always operate in. I would like it if I were a little bit more consistently in peace. And some of the teaching here today is for me, and you get to come along. Yeah, yeah. So you have page one and page two. So you're supposed to read page one and sign page two. It's the idea. I have a page one here. If you have any troubles and you're a volunteer, please do connect with me. Paula was pretty desperate. She needed some of these pages signed, so let's make sure we get them to her. All right, our first scripture this morning is Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. Do not think, Jesus speaking, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. What? What? He says he did not come to bring peace on the earth? I thought that was what the angels were proclaiming when he was born. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I just heard my phone go boop, beep. Does anybody know where that is? I guess I lost my phone temporarily. Do not think I came to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. So let me just say to you, as we begin this pursuit of peace, that Jesus says that in not every sector on earth will there be peace. In fact, there will be significant lacking in peace. As we come into these last days, I want you to be aware that the increase of the external
lack of peace will become obvious. Wars and rumors of wars is a familiar phrase. There's difficult things going on. And as the end of the age approaches, the divide becomes more and more clear and more difficult. So Jesus said, "Do not think I came to bring peace but a sword." And so that's true. But he also did come that you can have peace. Okay? Just FYI. Both are true. We'll work on that a little bit more as we go. There is a distinction in the reception of peace. Those within and those without. When Jesus, near the end of his earthly ministry, was approaching Jerusalem, Luke 19, verse 42, quotes him as saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes." He's speaking to Jerusalem in particular. He's speaking in particular to the head of the religion and even, you know, if you look contextually, he's not just talking about the fact that, you know, they were rejecting him as their Savior and God as their Father, but they were rejecting even sort of like governmental peace. You know, there's going to be slaughter. There's going to be literal slaughter. There's a lot of difficulty. If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. Reality. Difficult times are afoot. That's not a bad thing. It's just the facts. We live in a season where difficulty is like bread and butter. You can barely exist, live, talk, see, understand anything without seeing huge conflict. In our nation, you can see just amazing conflict, almost like sometimes I despair personally of the people out there because, well, I don't know about you, but, you know, if I ever listen to or read, you know, CNN or MSNBC, I do so like filtering it, right? Screening it up. And I happen to know that there are people that don't think the way I think, that just absorb that because it's you know, God revelation truth kind of feel, right? Okay, and there's a lot of sources out there, most sources in fact, that I read it just to stay informed, but boy oh boy, I don't believe their perspective. I'm reading with one ear tuned to God because I don't believe what they're saying about the facts, or I don't even know if I believe they're facts, and you know, blah blah blah. There's so much lack of truth, not just in the media. The media is at, you know, an all-time low, at least all-time low in my lifetime, in terms of truthfulness, and you can't believe what you see or hear or read. You can't believe that stuff. Pretty much from anybody, you know. You know, you got some people that will only say this kind of stuff, some people that will only say that kind of stuff. So you can't believe either of them, or any of them. Right? Can't believe. It's almost like you'd like to think that maybe if you listen to these, and then just took what they had in common, that it might be true, but it's probably not even true, because they're all lying, okay? There's an awful lot out there that's just absolutely antagonistic to the truth. And I won't say, like the prophets, the false prophets of old, peace, peace, where there is no peace. There isn't. That's not peace, okay? And in fact, you know, even if they all decided to be happy and agree, it's still no peace, because they'd all lie. That's the truth. We live in a very difficult place. We better be very careful to be hearing who it is that we ought to be hearing. We live in a difficult time, in a difficult zone. But there's some great promises. really, really amazing promises. Listen to this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Listen to the next phrase. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. So let me just say something. Peace is on the rise. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Let me just say that those two things are correlated. We'll get to that as we go. But the more his government increases in me, the more peace there is in me. Fact. Okay? Just how it works. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let me just say, there is a distinction between you and the world. You have access to the Prince of Peace and of the increase of his government and peace. That continual increase. The world, well, let me just say, there is no peace. Jesus said it this way, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation or trouble. But take courage, I have overcome the world." He says, you may have peace. He doesn't say you have to. You know that? You don't have to have peace. But you may have peace. Even though you are in the world, even though there is much trouble, even though there is much tribulation, you may have peace. He's giving you permission. How many want to have permission for peace? I'd like some permission for peace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us permission for peace. His command is this. In the NASB, it says, take courage. I looked it up in the original. And it's, be having courage. Okay? So there's something that is required of us in order that we may have peace. It's us having courage. Again, we'll get into that as we go forward. A few weeks back, I preached to you out of Romans chapter 14 and a couple of these scriptures that I'll reflect on you that speak regarding judgment. In particular, interpersonal judgment. I reflect on that and remind us of that because many of the scriptures that speak about judgment end up with promises for peace if you'll not judge. Now you look around you, again, the media or wherever else you want to look, and you'll see just hand over fist, judgment, judgment, judgment. It's as though there's no real wonder that there is no peace. No wonder at all that they have no peace. Romans chapter 14, verse 1, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." Accept him. This person that is weak and maybe a newbie or maybe just struggling in some areas. Accept him. Not so that you can pass judgment on his opinions. He goes on to talk many, many things about judgment. Verse 4 says, "Who are you to judge the servant of another?" And he's talking about the fact that Jocelyn, if I judge her, I'm judging the Lord Jesus' servant. And who am I to judge someone else's servant? You see, Elizabeth Patterson has quite a number of employees. And I assume that you give them annual reviews and you say, you know what, you did well in this regard and you did poorly in that regard. I mean, is that true, more or less? Somewhat true. Okay, all right. But nevertheless, your employees, maybe it's you, maybe it's your husband, maybe, I don't know who decides what, but somebody along here has to say, well, you did really great last year, and so we're going to, you know, bump you up to this. Or, you know what, listen, you didn't make your thresholds, and so you don't get your bonus or whatever. I mean, I don't exactly know how they compensate their employees, but that's fact. That's how it is. Who are you to judge? She says it doesn't quite work like I'm saying, but let me just say something. I don't get to decide anything about their employees because they're not my employees, okay? It's just who would I be to judge the servant of another? It's ridiculous for me to even consider that. It'd be silly. Similarly, I don't have the right spot to judge Jocelyn. She's the servant of another. To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, in this case she will stand, for the Lord is able to make her stand. Going down verses 10, but you, why would you judge your brother? Why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we'll all stand before the judgment of God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in front of anyone else. Let me just tell you something. Sometimes you can do things freely that the other person can't. Okay? Now, so for example, you know, one of the keen examples, easy examples for me is my dad. My dad, when he was a big shot at Wegmans, the sales guys would always bring him, you know, all sorts of booze. And Dad actually liked certain kinds of wine that he liked. But when he was called to the ministry, that just went away. He would not ever drink any. And the reason simply wasn't because he couldn't do it. He could do it freely. He could legitimately have just, you know, he had freedom to do that. He didn't have a problem with alcohol. Never did. Okay? And he liked that, but he knew that someone else could see that, and possibly with their own weakness in the problem, his drinking of, you know, a glass of wine could cause someone else to have a problem. So he said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's just not going to be part of my life. His freedom to do something, he freely chose to give up so that he could freely benefit others. Does that make sense to you? So this is all part of the judgment side of this whole peace thing, okay? So what I want to do, I'm going to scan down to the bottom of Romans chapter 14. Again, don't judge and don't, you know, be a stumbling block. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So let me just say, one of the key aspects of interrelational peace, especially in the body of Christ, is I don't judge Kathy. Kathy doesn't judge me, okay? Interpersonally, that would create issues. I don't put stumbling blocks in front of Kathy. Kathy carefully lives her life so she doesn't put stumbling blocks in front of me. It's an important part of maintaining peace here, okay, on this level. So that's an aspect of peace. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 says it this way. So as those who have been chosen of God, that's you and me, holy and beloved, that's you and me. See, somebody say, I'm holy, I'm beloved, I'm chosen. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, you know, there could be somebody that would say, you know, so they if Dad, you know, had a glass of wine, let's just say, could say, oh yeah, you know what? He's doing what's wrong. And that wouldn't be humility. That wouldn't recognize his freedom. But Dad's not even willing to put somebody in that spot. You see, there's such humility in both ways. Neither judging nor allowing yourself to be in the place where somebody would stumble or judge. Do you see what I mean? Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. You know, as a pastor, I've had a lot of opportunities to have, you know, people come to me and they tend to be willing to share with me, you know, the difficulties of their lives and their own stumblings and their own things. And because of that, it is particularly incumbent upon me to not be in a place of judgment. And I know there's a place of judgment that I have to exercise. When the Lord speaks, you know, you speak this to someone, yep, got to do it. And sometimes, you know, most of you have heard from me saying, now listen, you're thinking about that the wrong way and you need to repent. You need to shift how you're thinking. You know, that's the kind of conviction / judgment / love that is necessary in an authoritative kind of a situation. When you're willing to receive, when somebody's willing to receive something like that, it's not condemning. It's judging for the purpose of grace. Go ahead.
I don't see it as judging the person as much as it is the lie that has interfered with the actual person. It's the actual judgment of, you need to get out of here.
Yeah.
It's not the person at all.
Well, and have you ever had the opportunity to have me say anything to you?
Yes.
And the truth of the matter is that as it turns out, Jocelyn knows that I love her, okay? And so that I'm not trying to beat on her or hurt her in any fashion.
I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 5:12 and 13.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on your, you know, version.
Sure.
But it says to judge and expel those in the church that are sinning.
Yeah. Yep. And how does that conflict? Yeah. And there. It does sort of conflict. It does feel that way. Okay. And it's one of those things where. So, I did just a few weeks ago. Thank you for bringing that up, Elizabeth. The sort of a comprehensive look, okay, at the whole question of judgment, okay, and not just judgment, you know, me versus the world, but me in the church as well. Okay, here I am in the church, and almost everywhere, okay, at the end of James, in these Roman sections, numerous locations. Jesus himself, when he's speaking, do not judge and you will not be judged, et cetera, et cetera. In almost every circumstance, and except for that one, okay, pretty much, okay, that's the one where there, it goes one way. Everywhere else, in the broadest terms, okay, James is like, you know, do not judge your brother, okay, so it's clearly in the, context of church. In almost every situation, it's so clearly saying don't do it even in church, okay? And yet, in this one location, it's true. He clearly says, you know, this guy that's, you know, living in clear sin, and I'm not quoting it quite rightly because I haven't read the scripture exactly, but he's clearly operating in sin and kind of just shoving it in everybody's faces. Here we are, and he's saying, "What are you doing? Get this guy out of your midst." Okay, so let me just say to you. From my perspective, and again, this is me having looked at the composite wisdom in Scripture, that you and I as just us, okay, you know, me as just a member of the church, I don't want to be in a place of judgment, okay, and so then Dave shouldn't be kicking Larry out of the church, and Larry shouldn't be kicking Dave out of the church. Okay, fact, okay? But there comes a place where the church, maybe the leadership, or maybe the group of us need to say, you know what, listen, Dave's misbehaving, and he's really not being repentant, and so there's a place for us to do that. The difficulty that I have, okay, Elizabeth, with that one scripture is that it gets a lot more airtime, in my view, in the questions of judgment than the vast majority that just keeps on pursuing the point, which is, and I mean, my goodness, when you look at what Jesus says, I spoke a sermon on this. Does anybody remember? I think it was a month ago or something like that. But it's such a strong anti-judgment thing. And so then to me, there is a place for giving somebody the boot. There is. Okay, there is a place. It's a place after a lot of time, a lot of counsel. I'll tell you the truth from my perspective. There was a woman that most of you don't know that came to me, and she was she had a number of arenas in her life where she was a mess. Okay, and she was reasonably new in the faith. And she had a fairly religious boyfriend that she was living with. And he was really just trying to beat down her faith, but he did so by judging her. Okay, now, he told her that she was no good because she was sleeping with him. Okay, and which I don't know why that's funny to me, but it's slightly funny to me because, of course, he's sleeping with her too, as it turns out. You know, kind of crazy, but that's fact, okay? And, you know, so she was struggling in that arena, and she was also struggling in another arena where, I've told this story before, but some of you know it, she and her friends played, I think, Yahtzee for quarters, okay? And so she felt, you know, so this religious boyfriend of hers was telling her she was no good because she was a gambler too, okay? So it was a problem. And so she brings these things to me as her pastor, and I knew that she had a sincere heart and that she was pursuing God, and she wasn't playing around with any of this. It was serious to her, but I wanted her not to hear religious law and try to implement religious law. I wanted her to hear the voice of God, and so I said to her, "Listen, I want you to go, and I take these two issues. I want you to hear from the Lord, and the Lord will tell you which ones of these when you're supposed to address these." So I think it was a week later. I think it was on Sunday again, the following Sunday, and she came, you know, and I approached her. I said, "So have you been listening to the Lord about, you know, how you should be shifting?" And the Lord told her to stop playing Yahtzee. And so I said, "Okay, then stop playing Yahtzee." Okay? Good. There's grace for you to stop playing Yahtzee. It wasn't, but maybe a month later or something like that, the Lord told her to stop her sexual relationship with her husband or her boyfriend. Okay? There was grace then for her to operate in that. Okay? So now, for me, let me say to you, in the terms of judgment, what I did, I saw the heart of a woman who was after God. I judged that. And she's struggling with some of her life situation and behaviors. She didn't have any money. She was kind of stuck in the relationship. She didn't have a place to go if she didn't. She's stuck, right? But the Lord had a solution for her. I judged. Can I tell you what I did? I judged the heart as being after God, and I declared that into her. You remember, when we talk about judgments, it's important for us to grab a hold of the judgments of God, okay? Now, as it turns out, the guy in the situation had a heart not for God. And the stuff that came out of his mouth was destructive to the woman. But the heart for God enabled the woman to be promoted to a place where she could give up the things that were her normals by the grace of God and be freed, not enslaved, but freed. Okay, and so to me, there's a place for, you know, ecclesiastical, church-wide judgment, often in our culture and the way we deal with life, often that falls on the shoulders of a pastor, okay? But, you know, honestly, you know, there was a time when we had to ask somebody to leave our church, okay? And we've done that. It wasn't a pleasant time. It's still something that hurts my heart when I think about it, to be honest with you. It's just hard to deal with, okay? And we did that not on a, you know, I didn't just, you know, go and say, "Dave, you're out of here," okay? It was much more like, you know, as a group, the elders carefully prayed through and made sure we were right in our hearts and blah, 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 and then asked the person to go. So the answer is...
Was there a progression to that? I mean, the first he knew that you didn't appreciate where he was at was when you said get out?
Yeah,
or
right.
Did you talk to him about
yeah. 50 million? Obviously, there's this drawing, this attempt to draw somebody into a place of better, a better spot and resistance, okay? And so... Right, and so that's how, and you know, let's face it, you know, I believe it's Jesus, I believe it's, oh, I forget what, there's an escalation, you know, so if I notice that Dave's out of order, I as a person come along and I talk to Dave as a person and say, Dave, look, you know, you should get your life in order, and Dave rejects me, and then we take it to the church, and then we escalate. I forget what, I think it's in Matthew, but I can't remember where that is, but the whole deal is the vast majority of the time we have to really be careful to stay in a place, not judgment, judging the junk that the enemy has. See, in this woman's life, let me just tell you, one of the major junks that the enemy had was this boyfriend's mouth, okay? The boyfriend's mouth was probably worse than the boyfriend's sleeping arrangement, okay? His mouth was pouring in the judgment. Okay, now, I'm not saying that it was right for her to be sleeping with the guy. It was damaging to her to be sleeping with the guy, okay? See, but God had a progression that was marked with His grace, that was marked with His mercy, that enabled her to move out of the places of bondage and into the place of freedom. Now, the guy that we're talking about, also there was a progression. It was available. But he chose not to choose that progression. And so then eventually there came a place where it was time to be done. Make sense? Does that kind of answer your question? So that's the place where as far as I'm concerned, the whole counsel of Scripture is very clear. One of the problems that I see in the church is that there's an awful lot of judgment that doesn't need to happen the way it is, and there's a righteous judgment that's consistent with the perspectives of God on the person at this moment that is key to operate in. So I just want to encourage us in that direction. Okay, so anyway, back to Colossians chapter 3. So those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. You know, you may have heard me forgive President Bush or President Trump this morning. I did that because I felt like the Lord said to, okay, to be honest with you. And so then I wanted to release into the earth realm the forgiveness of God. Now, the guy's not perfect, okay, by a long stretch. Anybody ever notice that? But the reality is that if we are willing to judge with godly judgment, we will judge him into the place of his holy calling and destiny. If we by our judgments will enable him. Now, sometimes the judgments look like, Dave, that's not what you need to be doing. Come on, buddy. That's not who you are. Come on, let's roll. Let's do something else right over this away, okay? Or sometimes it's, look, Dave, I think I've already told you twice. It's time for you to... But you know, let me just tell you something. If I've already told him twice, then this is the third time that the Lord told me I gotta tell him something, okay? And I'm pretty clear on it. It's not just, you know, I don't like the, you know, green soles on your sneakers. You gotta be kidding me. That just offends me. And that's green soul. You got to be kidding me. We need white or black. Oops, my soul is black. Oh dear, I just what am I doing? Again, the truth of the matter is that Jesus said that if you're judging your brother, it's probably because your soul is black. Okay, that's what he said. That's what he said. So it's one of those real careful things. Anyway, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Okay, so let me just say that all of these things that we're talking about here, compassion and kindness, these are things that are not judging, but being gracious, okay? And yes, when necessary. When Father, you know, puts it right clear, you got to say something to Jocelyn. And, you know, many of you, you know, I've said, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to be mean to you. You know, a number of you have heard me say those. Now I'm going to be mean to you. And the truth is, what I really mean is, I'm about to give you one of these because you're not thinking about you like God's thinking about you, and it's time for you to shift how you're thinking, so get a move on, right? Okay, and I've said that to quite a number of you. Why? Because I love you, because I want to see you operate in the judgments of God over your life. Okay? That's how it is. Beyond even the body, the scriptures declare that we should pursue peace with all men. Hebrews 12:14 and Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Okay? So this is out there, wherever you can, be at peace. Well, yeah, you know what? Sometimes you can't. Okay, sometimes God says to you, you go say that to that person, I don't care whether he's going to like it or not. Well, then you're stuck. You got to go say it to that person whether they like it or not, okay? And I've been in that spot. I enjoy being mean, quote unquote, to Jocelyn. And the reason I enjoy being mean to Jocelyn is because Jocelyn's receptive. She's going to hear what I've got to say, and she's going to grab that in the love of the Father. She's going to know that it's time to be promoted in how she thinks of who she is. So I don't have any problem bringing a word to Jocelyn that maybe somebody else couldn't handle, possibly. She loves my mean. Okay, but you know what? There's been times when I've had to bring a word which I didn't think somebody was going to receive, and yet I had to bring the word. And there's been times when they received it, and sometimes when they haven't received it. And then there's a breaking of relationship, which is painful. There's difficulty. And you know, they'll have to go around Mount Sinai a couple of times. Maybe somebody else will bring the word the next time, and hopefully they'll get out of their little ugly pattern. It's all true. It's all true. But with grace, with the heart of the Father, with the judgment of the Father in mind. So that's amongst people. But what about peace and you? Just you, all by yourself, you. Yes, you know, peace in between, you know, the body or even beyond the body. That's important. That's the context for the rest of your life. There's no doubt. But what about inside of you? What about peace inside of you? Well, we already heard that Jesus told us that he did not come to bring peace on earth. And so there is going to be difficulty out and about. And so the question is, in those contexts of peacelessness out there, how do you operate in peace? Philippians chapter 4. It's a very familiar one, and I'm going to back us up a little bit because I want us to understand the full context of the promise. Both in this one and, there's two sections in Philippians chapter 4 that talk about the peace of God. Okay, so I want you to hear both of them. And they're both familiar, but I want you to hear it in this context. Number one, rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, so let me just say, rejoicing in the Lord is not circumstance dependent. It's Lord dependent. And as it turns out, he's pretty consistently good. You see what I mean? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Let me just say that generally speaking, the church has managed to not do this. The gentle spirit is not something that is front and center in the world's perspective on the church, which is too bad. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Okay, so rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, yes, Lord, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the promise. And the peace of God. The peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always is probably one of the most significant keys there. I know gratitude is as well, okay? But the perspective is this. Seeing Him for who He is. Don't see the circumstances for who they are. See Him for who He is. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Rejoice in the Lord always, number one. Number two, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Number three, be anxious for nothing. Number four, let your request be known with thanksgiving. It goes on from there. If you're pursuing peace, you should keep on reading. Final, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so let me just say that again, we get ourselves wrapped up. I get myself all worried about this and that. And I lose my peace because I look at my circumstances. Anybody else ever done that? Once or twice, okay. Couple of us. The reality is that we need to rejoice in the Lord always. The reality is we need to be humble. The reality is with thanksgiving we need to ask God about those things. Okay? And His peace will protect us. And then we need to set our minds on things that are lovely and beautiful and excellent and righteous and beautiful. Right? These are the things we got to keep cranking around in our heads. Because you know what? You start just letting the junky stuff, and it's there. Go ahead. Think about the junky stuff, and the next thing you know, you don't have peace. Or you can think about the good stuff. And the God of peace will be with you. Yeah, basically, about myself. Not anyway. Yeah, stop worrying about your junk. Exactly. Exactly.
So, just to rabbit trail, I apologize to jump in the middle. But then, when you say, yeah, you love me, but these things, or whatever.
Or anyway, you know, I know better than to say but these things, because, you know, that's already been driven out of my...
That's semantics, but okay. Yeah. aren't you judging the Son of God?
More or less, yeah.
And are you supposed to be?
No, because that's a servant of another.
Huh. So not only am I not supposed to judge Larry, I'm not supposed to judge George, but I can judge me, right?
Not really. That's judging the servant of another.
That's kind of an odd thing to wrap my head around.
That's true.
I don't know that I'd ever thought of it that way. But not judging myself, but hearing what God has to say about me, allows me to understand better what He says about me. And then I'm not doing what He, if I can say, chastised you for. But you know, he said, hey.
He's pretty gentle. He's pretty gracious, as it turns out. You know, even in His chastisement. You know, not anyway. It was very clear what He was trying to say. I'm not agreeing with you. I love you. Not anyway. I'm agreeing with me, is what He was saying. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Let me say to you again, the circumstances are troubling. You're right. So you get to decide whether you're going to stick your head on those, whether you're going to stick your head in the clouds, or you're going to look it to the one whose reality is more significant and more important and more true than your circumstances. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you, O God. Romans 8:6 says it this way, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Psalm 119, 165. Those who love your law have great peace. The word law there could be translated, I like translating it, teaching. Those who love your teaching will have great peace. Will have great peace.
There's like a righteous judgment, like you have, like a righteous judgment is like for myself, but not judging in like the way the world judges, but judging in righteous judgment, like not to do things that I shouldn't do, you know, like, because he says to take the beam out of your own eye, so I should judge righteously in a righteous way of, like, I don't want to be part of that, but not judge them to heaven or hell.
Yeah.
Like, well, try to be like your dad. He put down the wine because he was being used by God, and he didn't want that to be a stumbling block, so he made a righteous judgment to put that down.
Can I tell you what he did? Is he accepted a righteous judgment. So let me say, one of the key issues in judgment, and it's key for Dave on Dave, and George on George, and Dave on George, and George on Dave. Jesus said, I don't even judge. But if I did judge, this is Jesus talking, my judgment would be, I would be doing it with righteous judgment, because all I do is seek to please him. Okay, the Father. So Jesus himself, as a human, was sitting there, not judging, but if the Father said something, he'd release what the Father is doing. And the same is true, Shelley on Shelley, okay? So the reality is, we do need to be malleable before the hand of God. We don't want to stay the same God. Here we are. We'd like to be shifted. So let me hear your judgments and be shifted by them. I want your judgment. I don't want to apply judgment to myself because I am the servant of another, but I do want to hear his judgment and receive what he's saying so that I can have life. Because the judgment of man does not work the righteousness of God. That's just how it works.
That is still, though, the judgment is still on the lie and not on the person.
That's the truth. Yeah, the sin. And it amounts to a freedom that God wants to give to me. And if we can understand the judgments of God as enabling the gift of repentance, i.e. the ability to be shifted into a way that I'm freer and better, then no wonder we can say with, I think it's Proverbs or is it Psalmist that says, you know, the judgments of God are you know, wonderful, more to be desired than gold and, you know, sweeter also than honey. You know, those, the reality is the judgments of God are delightful to us because they promote us into freedom from the lies that would otherwise constrain us. And we don't need those lies.
I'm going to share with you a judgment on the lie. When I have friends that will say things like, did you see what I just did? I'm so stupid. How could I do something like that? And I have said to them, watch what you're saying about my friend. So today, while I was sitting here listening to you, I heard the Lord say to me, watch what you're saying about my friend. And he met me. Mm-hmm. And it started cutting off some things where I have said, I'm such a bad person in that area. And the Lord is saying, watch what you're saying about my friend.
It's a good thing to understand the gracious judgments of God. Judgment is a key thing, and I appreciate the questions and the commentary on the whole arena of judgment, because judgment is essential. Judgment is essential for us to understand rightly.
Recently, a few of my neighbors have said to me, well, we're not married. And he said, what do you think about that? And I said to him, who am I to judge you? I have to look in the log in my own eye. I can't make a comment. They were living together 19 years, two of my neighbors. I said, I cannot make a judgment. I have to look in the log, at the log in my own eye. Because you know why? I'm not perfect.
Well, I'm going to tell you that there's a couple of quick stories that I want to, while we're here, okay? So Jesus is with the woman caught in the act of adultery, right? And we all know the end of the story. He says, neither do I condemn you. You go, sin no more, right? So he said, what you're doing is sin. I want you to stop it, okay? But I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to graciously judge you into freedom, right? Then there's another woman, okay? And the woman had five husbands, okay? This is the woman at the well. Five husbands, and the man she's with is not her husband. There's no record of Jesus saying, go and sin no more. No record. Now, maybe he still did. I mean, I'm not saying that the Bible has to give us every word that he spoke, okay? So I don't know what he said, but clearly that was not the important aspect of the text, okay? That's not what is given to us. Now, what did Jesus say to the woman? I don't know. And what's the right thing for that woman to do? So should we break up the 19-year relationship? Well, maybe we could, you know, tie a knot or something like that. Maybe we could get them married off. And maybe the woman at the well should go and get married, okay? I don't know what Jesus said to her, but this I do know. He had a gracious judgment for her that she received and was made alive with, okay? And the two are a little bit different. And it's not that you always have to say the same thing to the same, you know, the same circumstance. Why? Because God has a gracious judgment in that circumstance that will enable life for that child of His. Us, our key, humility. Our key, hearing. Our key, just wanting to please Him in this very moment, okay? So often the church gets involved in you know, trying to get, I'm here and I'm just going to try to get you to obey the law, Kathy. If only you would just start, you know, do this, 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 and that. I think that everything would be better in your life, okay? So just, you know, there's a little bit of condemnation in the middle of that and ugly, okay? Well, now, you know, if the Lord said to do this, 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 and this, I don't have any problem. You know, listen. God says He's got freedom for you. You know, and here's the way to get the freedom. Boom, 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 boom. You know, I'm for you. I know because He's speaking it to you, you have freedom to do this. So let's go walk there, Kathy. Now, there's a different statement than, gosh, Dave, oh my gosh. You know, it's your own fault that you're in such trouble, you idiot. Okay? You know, get a move on. Okay? This, 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 and this. There's a very different, you know, Father is for you, and He loves you, comma, not anyway. He loves you, period. Perfectly. The anyway was dealt with right over there on the cross. Okay, He addressed the junk on the cross so He can just love you. And the whole love is to move you, Kathy, David, George, Jocelyn, move you into a place of freedom and life. Let me just say that when the Father moves you into a place of life, I'll just give you a quick example. You guys have all heard me say that we're not under law, but we're under grace, right? So let me just say to you that that's beautiful. You were designed for being free. You were born to be perfectly free. That's what you were born to be. But can I tell you the other side of that coin? Just let's flip over to the other side. If you don't submit yourself to God,
you won't maintain your freedom. It's a fact, okay? I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, shake my finger at you, Kathy. But I am saying that part of enabling freedom is finding a place of submission. What? You know, that sounds like you're enslaving me all over again. No. I'm talking about freely, willingly, delightedly being submitted out of your own free accord. That maintains your freedom, whereas doing your own stupid thing won't maintain your freedom. Or doing your own most intelligent thing, okay, won't maintain your freedom. Because the truth is, your freedom was designed to come in to submission before the Lord. So you see how the total freedom purchased at the cross is enabled by a free choice to willingly submit to what Father is saying. Does that make sense? To me, all of that mixes right into the judgment talk to understand things. All right, we're at 11:30, so I'm going to try to finish up what I wanted to say to you real quick. You know what? I'm going to skip some stuff. I'm going to go right to the heart of the matter here. In the world, you will have trouble. It's a promise from Jesus. Everybody say hallelujah. Yeah. So the trouble that you have in your life was prophesied by Jesus, okay? Right? So you have trouble. True. Fact. Good. But these things I have spoken to you, John chapter 16, verse 33, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you do have trouble, but take courage, I have overcome the world. John 14, these things I have spoken to you while I'm abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Jesus says, I'm going to give you my peace. The peace I have, my stuff, my peace. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Okay, so now I want you to note that that's a command. I want you to understand that what he's saying is, I'm giving you my peace, and there's trouble all around, but you don't have to let your heart be troubled. In fact, I'm telling you not to. And if I tell you not to, then there's the grace inside of me to accomplish that in you. I'm giving you my peace, and I'm giving you grace to not let your heart be troubled. Yep, mess around. Messes around. Yep, you got it. There's a mess around. Again, in John chapter 14, verse 1, I want you to hear this one. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Again, Jesus is speaking to us. And he's saying to us, yeah, life's a mess. And out there, let me just say, it probably gets worse. Okay? Well, at least sometime. You know, we can have little, you know, ups and downs and yep. And I'm for ups, okay? I like ups. Anybody else like ups? Okay, woohoo, okay? But, in the midst of it all, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in Jesus. Because you know what? When you are keeping your eyes above the waves, according to the song, when you're keeping your eyes on Him, when you're seeing Him, when you're setting your mind on things above, you don't let your heart be troubled. Your heart isn't troubled because I was helping Allie write, she's in a, New Testament. She's at Roberts and she's in one of these classes. And Saint Ignatius is on his way to Rome. And she's reading some of these ancient writings. And he's basically telling the church, listen, they're going to kill me. They're going to feed me to wild beasts. And he's like, you know, don't try too hard to stop this. I am ready for this to happen. I'm going, you know what, don't bother me. I am so ready. Why? Why is he? You know, there's a lot of trouble. But he's got his eyes on a prize. He knows where he's connected. The reality of his earthly world is a mess, okay? You know, he's in a Roman convoy to the Colosseum to meet up with wild beasts that'll tear his flesh. But his spirit is in a great place. And he's got confidence to go where he's going because he sees differently than the two naked eyeballs see. Do not let your heart be troubled. And let me just say, do not let your heart be troubled. Notice that that's a command. Notice that that says, Pat, you have a choice here. You can let it or you cannot let it, and I'm telling you, don't let it. Don't let your heart be troubled. You get to decide. Now, I'm preaching right here. This is me preaching to me, okay? If you want to take some of this, you can take some of this too. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not. So you ready? I believe this is the word of the Lord, at least to me. So I'm going to repent. You can agree with my prayer if you want. And commit my heart to the places of peace. Father, I come before you with gratitude that I have the right, I have the power, I have the ability, I have the will to not let my heart be troubled. Thank you for your word that accomplishes all of that in me. I repent for letting my heart be troubled. And I choose to believe in you, Lord Jesus. I choose to believe in you, dear Heavenly Father. I choose to set my eyes on the good things that you are accomplishing, and even the eternal good that is assured before me. I yield my heart to you. And I pray for your healing. I pray for your salvation in every place where allowing my heart to be troubled temporarily has made injury in myself or in others. I set my eyes on you and on your good. I set my affections on you and your good. I rejoice in your goodness. I'm grateful to you. I ask you to fix the things that are before me, but I keep my heart in a place of expectancy, pursuing you. Thank you that you love me, not anyways, and that you're good to me always. I commit myself again to you, and I bless these, your precious ones. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fall fresh in all of us, that each one of us would be drawn into you and drawn into your likeness and drawn into your goodness, that you would speak so clearly in our ears that we would hear and be empowered to walk with you. We love you. Amen. I just want to share a couple quick things with you. I know that the Lord is doing some really good things. Some of you guys could pray for Doris over there in Kenya. We've had some pretty significant setbacks in the last little bit. Some of you know that the pawpaw trees all got infected with the virus, and so they died, and we had to destroy them and start over again with that which is, you know, productive and keeping that thing going. Fortunately, we did have the finances, and I don't know, you guys probably know I have a separate ministry that, that funds Living Love Ministries is out there. Anyway, she so we have the new the pawpaws back in, and we actually increased we're doing some citrus trees as well. But it takes a little while to get those to be productive. She also put in some quicker resulting things like tomatoes and melons to be productive in the next few months. But the other thing that happened just recently, most of you know that we had had an agreement with a local college to teach the mamas and certify them for preschool and daycare administration so that the mamas could have in-home businesses and support themselves and minister to the kids. And I don't really understand it. In fact, I really don't understand it, but somehow word from on high in Kenya shut down all, it's ECDE, Early Childhood Development and Education, all ECDE programs got shut down. And so our program got shut down as well. And so all of this is tricky. And so just, you know, I just encourage you to be in prayer for Doris. And, you know, we're responding. The farm's back in order to a certain degree. It's on its way back up to productivity. And we helped the students that had entered our program, we helped them transition to other programs if they were willing to, and even managed to get some financial aid for them in that transition. So I'm very grateful for that. But it's tricky stuff. So just be in prayer for Doris in that regard, and that's the sort of the scoop on the Africa side of the world, you know, right now. So you know, in the world we have trouble. It's just true. It's just fact. Okay, in the world we have trouble, but as it turns out, Jesus has overcome the world, so we can be having courage and expecting good things. So I want to encourage you to be in prayer for her, be in prayer for your brothers and sisters, anyone that you know. You'll know, like, you know, 0.5% of their troubles. Okay, that's true. You don't know much about their troubles. Pray for the one little bits that you do know, because you know what? There's 99% more that they need help with too. So bless your brothers and sisters and pray for us, each of us. Pray for one another. Bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. Mom and Dad were at, probably still are at the Rock Church today. Uncle Vic and Aunt Ruthie are on vacation. So Mom and Dad are there. Mom and Dad are also headed out to the DeMay Center to minister to the people there this day. So if you would pray for them as well, I'd appreciate it. Lord bless you all.